I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, a new podcast from Wondery.
From Adele to Victoria Beckham and Lily Allen, we take you inside the drama-filled lives of our most talked-about celebrities to find out what it's like to walk in their shoes.
She means their beautiful Prada shoes.
Listen to Terribly Famous wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the hilarious and wonderful Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. What's going on? So good to see you. Happy Monday. Good to be here. Good to hug you. Good to hug you electronically. E-hugs.
Yeah. We are here to talk about Real Housewives of New York. Very exciting. Before we do that, just a reminder, next Monday, we have our next episode of Crappy Hour, which is going to be on Instagram Live. It's basically like a revamp of Take a Seat, but now it's on Instagram Live. And we talk for about an hour about stuff on Bravo, the world of Bravo, you know, any potential music videos, any Real Housewives have potentially made over the past 2 weeks, things like that, trailers, lots of things, gossip. So that's on at 5:30 on Pacific time, 8:30 on the East Coast. So, you know, adjust your calendar accordingly. That's on Instagram Live. So be sure to be following at Watch What Crappens. Make sure you turn your notifications on for Watch What Crappens. That way you're notified when we go live. You might forget. And also, just for the hell of it, follow me and Ronnie. Ronnie's at Ronnie Karam. I'm at Ben Mandelker. Just give us a follow because, you know, we're going to bring so much wonderful content to you all the time. So that's that. And then, of course, also this is on video. So go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. If you support on Crappens on Demand, you get access to these videos a week before they go onto YouTube. So you get special early access. And you also get access to things like our weekly bonus episode. This week, we will be doing a trailer breakdown of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City trailer, which is really amazing. There's also a Southern Charm trailer that has also dropped. So everything's going to get broken down. So definitely join us at Patreon. Yeah, there will be lots of blood on this. And that's basically it. So
let's
dive into Real Housewives of New York, huh?
Let's do it. So here we are with Real Housewives in New York, episode 5. I feel like we're further along, don't you? I feel like we should be further along here, but it's episode 5.
Yeah.
What do we open? Oh, we open with the Friendsgiving from last week, which is possibly one of the most depressing Real Housewives moment of the year. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
And it's Brynn's story. It's Brynn's really sad story. So she's still talking about how her parents were basically a mess. She was born really poor. Her dad was in jail. Then her mom, I think, was in jail. And her grandma adopted her and her siblings, and she was scared she'd get taken away and stuff. And Sai's like, so at what point did things start getting better? Like, when did you look out the window and realize that people were looking in at you?
And Brynn's like, well, it just, you know, as a first grader, I drank a bottle of Dimetapp because I wanted to sleep forever. And everyone's like crying. And I was like, wow, really blazing into this fifth episode, huh? Like, I still feel very uneasy about the fact that Bravo made Brynn's very serious trauma a cliffhanger. Like, I still think that is so weird. And then we just sort of barge into this next episode on this note, and it's very moving, it's very emotional, but it is a strange way to kick off an episode to me. And I don't know why last episode didn't end with this emotional story. She gets it all out, but then it does ultimately end, like the scene ends in a happy place. I don't know why we didn't end there, but instead, so we were hearing more about this. It's just all, it's heartbreaking, and I don't have a problem with heartbreaking. I'm just surprised that they chose to make it into like a two-part heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, it's like, come back. and let's see more drama.
Yeah.
What's the surprise here? It's still traumatic, okay?
Yeah.
And so that is the big surprise, that we come back and it's just still traumatic. Thank God they don't up the... Well, I guess they do up it with the drinking of the medicine as a little kid or whatever, but I don't know. I don't need you to up it in this instance. I agree with you. So, basically, it's just sad. It's really upsetting. And they're all like, what? You know, Jenna's saying, you know, I saw that little girl remembering just not being cared for. And she's just such a smart, vivacious girl. And to see that going on is just heartbreaking. And Bryn says, you know, and that's why I say, if I'm charming enough and if I'm smart enough, maybe they'll let me stay around. And I don't know.
And then Aaron, of course, is like,
sad.
It's so heart wrenching. She went through a level of trauma that I don't think anyone in this room went through. So I get why she doesn't want to talk about it. So when she does, I feel like we should really all like rally and be with her. It's almost like we should be women supporting women right now.
And then she says that her dad did find her when she was a senior in high school. She gets a call, and she had only spoken to him twice in her life, but he was in the hospital dying of cirrhosis of the liver, and then they had a great relationship until he passed away. And that he did apologize for being absent, and there wasn't a day when he didn't look in the mirror and see a monster. And she's like, I forgave him, because what else do you do, you know? And I was like, right. There are so many things else to do other than forgive. I mean, I don't know. I think it's because I was raised so religiously that was always the thing. It's like, forgive no matter what. So I was always coming up with alternate things that you could do besides forgive. So if anybody needs advice, come on, give me a call.
Yeah, it's called stand-up comedy. If you know, if you don't want to forgive someone, you go into stand-up. So then Bryn is like, but then she also says another reason why November and Thanksgiving is hard for her is because her father then ultimately died November 12th. So, like, the month of November is, like, pretty rough for her. And so Sai's like, well, I think you turned out pretty fucking great. And then they're all just, like, really nice to her. And
I mean, if you had a husband, you'd fuck him. That's for sure. So, you know, you got one up on Jessel on that one. Am I right?
Jessel's like, there are so many people that would let that fail them. And you didn't. You didn't. Like, for instance, if you were Parvit... I mean, Parvit's already failed, and he hasn't even had this degree of trauma, so I can only imagine.
I mean, the amount of failure that you feel on the holidays, imagine feeling that every day of your life. That's Parvit. That's Parvit. Can we all take a moment for Parvit? Jessel always does that thing where someone has just completely unloaded their guts, okay? She is just emotionally just let it all out. She's... told her a whole dramatic, terrible story. And then Jessel goes, I think a lot of people feel bad around the holidays. Am I right, guys?
All people have trauma. So then they're like, well, thanks for sharing that with us. And they do a cheers to built-in family. And Bryn's like, people ask me how I'm like so happy. And I genuinely am. It's like, and I'm not even like on anything anymore. Like, I'm just happy because I feel like, I felt so much pain. That's why I'm fucking happy, because I know both sides, and I, you know, you choose happy, and it's like so much better to be happy.
Yeah. So then where are we? I just had so much sadness here. I'm trying to see where
it's
we get
sad.
I'm ready to move past the trauma. Okay. It was like a good moment. I need to get out of it for my own sake. So let's see here.
Yes.
Okay. So then we get to this big fight starter. Okay. So Jessel's like, okay, everyone, just, you know, trauma aside, so sorry about the trauma. Okay. I'm sorry you weren't picked up. What I hope was picked up was my invitation to my charity event, because I'm having a little event for a cocktail party for a designer I represent. It's at my place, and the proceeds are going to a charity that builds schools in India. Everyone's going to come, hopefully. Purses, poor children. Sorry, Bryn, that wasn't directed at you. All right. There are lots of poor children in the world, and these we're going to celebrate by selling purses at my apartment. Everyone coming?
Everyone can dip in and dip out. And Sai, if you'd like to pause right now and make a comment about being fed at a party that you think will be very funny, now is your chance.
God, she literally, every time she gets a chance, like, are they going to feed me? Like, you're hilarious.
I know. It's like, we get it.
So Jenna goes, I might not be able to. I just don't.
I think I have a conflict.
I just don't. I can't. I don't know. But
Sister Jenna, you seem to be stuck. What I'm trying to ask is, can you come to my very special Purses for Poor People? She's like, I think I have a conflict. I don't remember what it is, but I'm pretty sure I have a conflict.
And Bran's like, what do you have? What do you have? And she goes, I don't really, what? I speak in ellipses because I'm like super awkward, guys. And Bryn's like, so it's just you have something you'd rather be doing. Is that it? And it was like, I definitely want to come, but I'm going to be late. So then they move on and they start eating. And Aaron's like, oh, hey, guys, I have a question. What kind of fish is this? What kind of fucking fish do you think? You're on Bravo, Aaron. It's Branzino. What else do they serve on Bravo? What kind of question is this? One season, Aaron.
I mean, Aaron, for crying out loud, it is the classic Friendsgiving dish of Branzino. As we all know, when it's Thanksgiving, we all gather around the table and enjoy Branzino.
What else?
Branzino and no stuffing. That is the classic Thanksgiving thing. So, Bryn, I hope you don't feel you finally had your Thanksgiving meal.
That famous side dish of olives, just a plate of olives and some oil.
You know what? I think like Cy, I was gonna say your food snacky commentary thing is revoked anyway, but now it's super revoked because this is not a Friendsgiving meal. This is not only is it fancy, but it's like Branzino. And I'm not opposed to Branzino at Thanksgiving. But if you're trying to give your friend finally you're gonna have a warm Thanksgiving, you gotta serve up the stereotypical shit. I'm sorry. I feel very strongly about this.
I think it's one of those, like, I'm going to have a party, but I might as well throw that I'm a good person on top of it, too, and just call it Branzgiving, because it was called Branzino Giving, but yeah. I'm going to just change it, too.
It was actually originally called Branzgiving, because I was like, I get so many things from brands, but felt like that was a little on the nose, so I changed to Branzino.
You know what? I was going to serve turkey, but I got this Branzino from the Branzino brand in the mail. It just came in the mail. I tried wearing it, actually, but it stank. So I just had a chef come over and cook it.
Branzino is actually the agency she uses to connect her with brands. Oh, you want to be an influencer? Use Branzino. There probably is some organization called Branzino that's probably very satisfied with itself. So then Sai is like, well, everyone like loves the food. Everyone's like, oh, this food is to die for. It reminds me of all my childhoods eating Branzino at Thanksgiving. And Sai is like, my main concern was to feed everyone and make sure they didn't talk shit about me on my house. You know, because I got nice toilet paper. I got food. I'm like, I'm done with this. I am so done with the snacking commentary from Sai. I cannot deal with it anymore.
And the toilet paper commentary. It's like you're making basic hotel toilet paper commentary. But was there ever proof that Aaron doesn't have decent toilet paper? Like your toilet paper, what do you call it? Slandering. Your toilet paper slandering. So can you get sued for that? I think you can. If somebody ever came to my home after the extra pennies I spend on that toilet paper, because I do care about toilet paper, and I get some nice, thick Charmin quilted, because I want you to be able to get some traction on your butthole. Okay, I want your butthole to be clean at my home. I get it. But if anybody had left my home and called my toilet paper crap, like bad toilet paper, how dare you? I don't believe that Aaron has shitty one-ply toilet paper either, and there was never any proof.
Actually,
you're just trying to keep your thing going. You believe it?
I actually believe Aaron has bad toilet paper, 100%.
Why? She gives off, like, just bad,
I mean, bad she like
toilet paper vibe?
I'm not... I think that Aaron is, like, not a great hostess, okay? But that's just... I just don't, like, size... Her, like, interviews, her like... It's like she has this... She is like still doing this joke that I think she thinks is hilarious, and we have all moved on. And I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done with the little
jokes. We wouldn't
know
anything about that.
I know. Listen, you either do a joke for 10 years or you do it once. There's no in between.
There's no in between. That's funny. So I don't think she's a bad host. I know that she didn't feed anybody. That was terrible. And I've calmed down a little since last week. Because last week I was really like, fuck her. But this week I calmed down a little. I think she just doesn't eat very much. And so she's not used to like normal amounts of food. To her, it's like some fish eggs is good. To her, adding Pringles to that mix was giving people like a Golden Corral buffet spread.
No, I think that she has bad toilet paper because I think that she probably like poops like a little pelican or something like that. It's probably a little, like a rabbit. Whatever. like little tiny things.
Yeah, you know how rabbits just poop like little ball pellets?
Yeah,
they just
little
like
balls.
Drop out and they bounce.
She has little pellets that come out. And so she probably doesn't need more than a one ply. And then she assumes everyone doesn't need more than a one ply. It's like when you go to a party. I remember in my 20s, anytime I went to a party, like some parties you go to and there's just so much booze. But like inevitably you go to, there's always like, there's this one girl I knew and she'd have a party and there'd be like one bottle of vodka, but then like tons of hors d'oeuvres. And I'm like, no one's here for the hors d'oeuvres because we're in our 20s. We want the booze. And I feel like Aaron was that person who only had one bottle of vodka and tons of hors d'oeuvres. And now that we're in our hors d'oeuvre phase, she doesn't have any hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. No, she's just always on the, she's always in the wrong party phase. So
I'm gonna workshop this theory. I don't feel like it really, like, I don't really feel like it was my best work, but I do feel like there was something in there that was very true to Aaron.
No, I totally get what you're saying. You're saying she's basically, you're giving like a history of her being a bad host, even though we don't know her history.
20s.
It's like guessing her history. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I'll bet she's like, well, I grew up at 3 Lincoln Center, so literally nobody had vodka. So you're lucky you got one bottle, you know?
It's because like when Erin was in her 20s, she was excited about the hors d'oeuvres at her party and she didn't really care about the vodka that much. So she assumed everyone felt that way. And it's like, no, you have to have booze at your party, theoretical 20-something Erin.
So, yeah, so it's more toilet paper slander. But then Erin doesn't make it any better because she's also refusing to let go of her one thing that she can't let go of, right? And they're all learning. Like, I get it's first season Housewives. This is practice time. But she makes her thing. But then Erin's like, oh, you're obsessed with toilet paper. Well, at least it's better than being cackling hags in the Hamptons, which doesn't even make sense, like, to move on.
It's
like a really bad transition, but also who cares? Cackling hags is really not that bad of a thing to say. And Jenna just looks down, you know, she's like, I'm awkward. So she looks down and Aaron's like, that was really mean. And Jess is like, it was a joke. Oh, really? You think that's funny? Yes, I do think it's funny. She goes, well, did you tell her that you called her that? Do you know that we're cackling hags, Si? Me and you, we're like cackling hags. She called us cackling hags. Oh my God. Okay. You're a can't let anything fucking go hag. Shut up, dude. This lady is so obnoxious. Let it go. It's a boring storyline. Nobody cares. Drop it.
She is trying to whip up some outrage. She is trying to like brew up a feud. And Jessel, of course, goes to the classic thing that English expats do, which is saying, but in England, it's a funny thing. You know, haven't you ever heard R.I.P. Queen Elizabeth say to Princess Diana, look at that cackling hag, also R.I.P. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. Wait. Classic British slang, cackling hag.
We say bollocks, bugger, shag. You know, Camilla was coming down the coronation aisle and the king turned back and said, twat. You know, it's just how we are. Cackling hags is like saying, hello, cheerio. But Erin's like a cat. She's waiting to pounce on anything I say. Again, audition. Can we please hold auditions for some gays in the confessionals?
I know.
She's like a cat waiting to pounce.
Yeah, we really need to get this gay confessional strike to end because these women need a lot of work. Okay.
So the cock like, union needs to get together immediately.
Yeah. What did we decide cock stood for again? Council of...
Hold on. I have it caustic. Written down because it's very important. If it actually forms, we need to be able to take credit. Confessional Oratory Collective.
Oh,
and then if you want to use a K at the end, we can say Queens with a K.
Cock. There's a lot of division within the cock community about how the acronym should really be. So Uba,
Lisa Rinna's like, I do not use cock. Do you know? We're like, Lisa Rinna, come on, you're just saying that because you're bitter, okay?
So Uba is like, she's like, what is cackling hags? I'm like, oh gosh, I'm honestly getting a little over Uba. Like, I want more from her. I feel like she's so beautiful, and we keep on saying, but she's so beautiful. But at a certain point, I think we have to admit, she's maybe not offering the best stuff here. I mean, this whole thing, like, what is a cackling hag? We're wild and wacky. So Jess is like, Jessel is like, it's what we're doing right now. It's loud. It's like, you know, it's like when you're laughing, but loud, but in British way. You're being British and sophisticated. You're not being dumb American raised in 3 Lincoln Park. You know what I'm saying?
And Aaron's like, well, I don't like that, and I don't think it's nice. Jenna says, oh, I think it's an endearment to say that someone's a cackling hag. I mean, I don't think it's mean. Yeah, because you were the first one to say cackling. And also, Jessel, you know Jessel loves this lady because she's not throwing her under the bus and saying, no. Wait a minute, she's the one who said cackling. You know?
Yeah. No, Jessel will never throw Jenna under the bus, or at least not anytime soon. So Jess is like, Jenna, you're a cackling old hag. I say that out of endearment. And so Sai goes, oh, you just said old. You added old. cackling hag. No, in British, old means young. So then Aaron's like, oh, so now we're cackling old hags? Is that what it is? I'm like, oh, God, Aaron. God. Aaron is like just so blatant in her attempts to whip up some sort of frenzy.
She's just so like Frederick Eklund trained, I feel yeah. like. Ever since I found out she's a Frederick Eklund plant, I can't with her. I just feel like, you know, she purposely made friends with Frederick to get this Bravo connection. Mm-hmm. And now she's like, I'm a Real Housewife, so I'm going to be mad about cackling hags for 5 weeks and never let it go and bring it up every chance I get. And Frederick's at home going like, you go, girl. You go.
And also watching his own music video. So Aaron's like, being gay is great.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's podcast, American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history. Events that have shaped who we are as a country and that continue to define the American experience. American Scandal tells marquee stories about American politics, like the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, an event that led to the downfall of a president, and raised questions about the future of American democracy. We go behind the scenes looking at devastating financial crimes, like the fraud committed at Enron and Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme. And we tell stories of complicated public figures like Edward Snowden and Monica Lewinsky, people who found themselves thrust into the spotlight and who spurred debates about the future of the country. Follow American Scandal wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So Aaron is like, Jessel says whatever the hell she wants, and she doesn't think of the repercussions or how people are going to, or like how people are going to take it. I'm like, so when she mentioned as a passing joke, like, oh, those cackling hags were laughing at me, like that's, I'm sorry, this is not an explosive thing to say.
She's like, what if I just called you a stupid bitch? And then I was just like, well, what? So what? I called you a stupid bitch. No big deal. I mean, that's what we say in New York. Yeah, it is what you say in New York. As someone who lived there for 10 years, I was called a stupid bitch all the time. I mean, by people I didn't even know. Just random people on the street will call you a stupid bitch in New York City. What are you getting so defensive about? And how are you the one talking about how you're the real New Yorker? And you're the only... By the way, I hate that too. People who are like... Yes. Oh, I'm the only real one here. I'm the only real New Yorker here. Well, congratulations on never leaving your hometown. Like, to some of us, that seems kind of, like, ridiculous. And second of all, if you're the real New Yorker, what are you so defensive about? People call you names all the time in the streets.
Yeah, and, like, let's please bookmark this moment for the inevitable scene when Aaron is like, oh, shut up, bitch. And it's like, you called me a bitch? And then she says, no, it's like, bitch. It's like what you say. It's supposed to be, like, nice. I guarantee she'll have that scene at some point in her life. And now I hope Bravo rolls this moment where she says, oh, my God, that's like if I said, you're a stupid bitch. And that's what we say in New York. I guarantee that's going to happen. So... Bryn is
my main note on Aaron is just written right here in black and white. She's exhausting. Okay.
Right.
So then Bryn's like, Jessel, here's the thing. Just say I said it. She did just say she said it. Now we've got you too.
This is Bryn's thing. Bryn's thing is like, it'd be like one thing if they were like, I did it, you know, but like, they're not like that. Meanwhile, this is the girl who lied about going to catch or not going to catch. And now she wants accountability from everyone.
Exactly. She's doing the Lisa Rinna mold. Like, just own it. She did just own it. You guys are just saying pre-canned lines. It's so annoying. And so Jessel's like, but I did just say I said it. And Brent's like, but don't try to redefine it post-mortem. She's not redefining it. She called you cackling hags, and she meant it. In a fun way, because you were acting like cackling hags. By the way, she was saying this after you guys were giving her shit about her sex life after having twins. So fuck all of you guys. Like, how are you making... Jessel can be the villain, but how are you guys going to make it? You guys were the assholes here. This show's infuriating me. I'm getting mad now. Listen to me. Know. I'm getting worked up.
I feel like Jessel is the biggest asshole, but like Aaron and Bryn and Sai have made me take up for her. Because I actually do think, I mean, Jessel was a brat with that, with the lingerie, but I actually think that the incessant harping from Aaron, Bryn, and Sai, especially from Sai, about Jessel and her sex life, I just feel like they're just not really reading between the lines. And I just think that they're being really, like, so Sex in the City in that moment, but they're just being obnoxious. And really, in those moments, they are kind of being more of the hags. The hag, I don't, just like invasive hags, I guess you could say.
So Bryn's like,
intrusive,
doing,
I should say.
What'd you say?
I said invasive hags. I revised it to intrusive hags, if we are to label anyone as hags.
I mean, I don't, is there a huge difference? I mean, they're just being dicks. Let's just stick with that. They're being dicks. So Jessel's like, well, what I said can be received in different ways. And she's kind of smiling like, are these people fucking kidding me? Like, I'm the one who blows everything out of proportion. Because I thought Jessel was going to be that person who everything that they said, she'd be like, really? Well, that was offensive to me. Like, she seems like she's going to be that, seeing her interact with Pavitt. But nope, it's everybody else. And she's kind of laughing about it. Like, wow, I'm in a group where I'm not the drama queen. And Jessel's like, no, I did say it. And that's just how my shit is, dude. I'm like, yes, yeah. Jessel. She's like, I'm the real one here. And so Bryn goes, oh, yeah? Well, your shit definitely stinks.
Well, I was talking to my very dear best friend, Jenna Lyons, fashion icon, and I said, you guys, I felt like I was getting ambushed, and you guys were like a bunch of cackling, old, geriatric hags.
And then Aaron's, she like, just laughs, which I love.
And Aaron's like, I felt you were annoyed that whole weekend, and like, you didn't have a good time, and like, sometimes I'd look at you, and you looked miserable, like, you were like, not happy. And then we go to 3 weeks ago, they're in the car, and Jessel's like, I need to get out. And Aaron's like, Jessel hates this. No, I need to get home and go to my kids and be someplace that has heating. I need to get out of here.
But that's what a bad hostess you are. This woman finally got to get away from her husband, who she wants to burn alive, her two twins, who won't stop screaming in her face, her mother, who won't stop leaving spots on coffee tables. Okay, she finally gets away from all of that. And you are so shitty that all you have is caviar and a freezing cold room. She actually wants to escape you to get back to the hellscape she ran from in the first place. That's what a shitty host you are. So if anyone should be apologizing here, it's you, Aaron. It's you.
It really is. And you know, the Aaron does that thing. I don't know what the term is for it, but I had a friend who once called it quote unquote alliance building. Like, a way that someone tries to bond or connect with you is that they try to tell you about you. Do you know these people? So in this instance, you have Jessel, who's like, I need to get out of here. And Aaron goes, Jessel's miserable. She's like trying to be like, I know what you're thinking. I'm going to say it. And like, have you ever met someone who's like that? You talk to them as like,
besides me,
you're not like this. You don't do this. There's some people you're having a conversation. They go, oh, I know you. You're someone who doesn't like when people wear boots. I don't know, something like that.
You're
like,
no, I know what you mean.
No, yeah. I never said that whatsoever. Like, someone who like gets off on like trying to figure you out, you know?
Yes, as and also proclaim to everybody else, to proclaim to everybody else that they figured you out, you know? So it's like no one else can have their own opinion of you.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to try to figure people out. I mean, I literally just had an entire theory about how Erin in her 20s had parties where she did not serve enough booze but too many hors d'oeuvres, okay? I think that's okay. But I hate when people try to do it to your face. Like, aha, I got you. And I feel like Erin does that, and she does it all the time, and she does it to Jessel.
And she's like, so Jessel's like, well, I just wanted to see my kids, you guys. Like, listen, it's the second time I've ever been away from my kids. And she's, then why didn't you tell us? I mean, how am I supposed to know that you miss your kids? Like, I mean, how am I supposed to know that? I can't imagine why she wouldn't want to open up to you guys after you just mocked her for 2 days straight about being low libido after having twins. You fucking weirdos. Like, that's so weird you wouldn't open up and be sensitive around us, Jessel.
I know. So Bryn's like, but you kept
eclipsing to us. Like, I have to see my kids. Like, I have to get the fuck out of here. And, like, you were, like, so irritated. And then, like, I texted you that night. And you said, hi, honey. Are you okay? And you said, good. I'm going out. Like, so, like, you talked all day about how you want to go back to the kids. But then you went out at night. And Jess was like,
no, and that's that kind of person. Now, you're this kind of person. No, I'm going to do it.
You do it.
Now, Brent's that kind of person. He's like, oh, remember how I checked on you because I could tell you weren't very happy, so I called and checked on you to make sure you're okay. Look at what a good person I am, right? Now let me use that against you in front of everybody. Like,
yeah, that's those reconnaissance.
You're a dick. You're a dick too, ma'am.
Jess was like, but that was the day after. And Brynn's like, no. She goes, oh, okay, well, it was the day of. I mean, it was a work thing. That's what it was. Because I had to go to a work dinner that night at Jamba Juice. I was meeting Michael Kors at Jamba Juice to discuss fashion for Bangladesh. That's what it was. Okay, that's clearly what happened.
We're coming up with plans to publicize wearing carrot juice on your head. And so I had to meet with Michael Kors.
Why can't we all look like Grace Coddington, right? Carrot juice on the head.
We're going to start reusing orange peels as high-heeled shoes. And I had to talk to Michael Kors about it. Also, missing your kids doesn't mean you have to go sit in and, like, watch fucking Dora the Explorer with them all night. Missing your kids means you walk into your house, go, oh my God, those ladies were exhausting. What cackling hags. Hello, children. Still have you? Good. Go with Nana now. Mommy's going out. The end. Like, what does she need to do? They're fucking babies, okay?
She probably honestly had to take a massive dump and just didn't want to do it at Aaron's house.
Didn't trust the toilet paper sitch.
Yep.
So, more evidence on the toilet paper pile. So,
it all comes together.
So then she goes, yeah, I had to go to a work thing. So Aaron goes, oh, you're working now? She goes, of course I am. She goes, well, I didn't know that you were currently working. So I guess just add that to the laundry list of things that you don't tell us about. And she's like, yeah, I mean, mama's got to bring home the money. Just, well, I didn't know that. So, okay, let's all fucking. Everything that's going on with you, put it down so we can all bring it to fucking Aaron. So she's not calling us all night while we're trying to eat our fucking bony ass Branzino. By the way, Branzino, the boniest fish in the world. Why does everybody serve this? I can't stand
that.
It's
always bony. And I always, like, every time I get it, I always have this idea that maybe this time it won't be bony. I don't know why. Like,
it's always
like,
bony.
It's always bony. And it's, like, fucking annoying. And I'm not down with it. But Aaron, by the way, I love when self-involved people then pull the whole thing of like, well, I didn't know. It's like, well, ask a question.
Yeah, because you were too busy shaming her about her sex life. Maybe ask her something, Aaron. Fuck.
How about like with two truths and a lie? Also, it could be something like Jessel is working. Jessel's not working. I don't know. Like, just find out things. So Jessel's like, so condescending. I've been a fashion publicist for almost 20 years. I've worked my whole life. I'm really not sure why she's so confused. So Aaron tells us, Jessel told me she was taking a break from work after she had the twins, and she never told me she started again. I'm not a mind reader. Like, she didn't have the twins a week ago. The twins are a year old. Like, you know that enough time. If enough time has gone by that you're shocked that they haven't had sex, isn't there like enough time that you might ask at one point, like, hey, are you thinking about getting back into work? Are you going to be staying home with the kids for a few years? Like, it's just totally self-involved.
Yep. And so Bryn's like, so I have a question. Jessel, when was the last time you came? Okay, I'm officially exhausted with all of you.
I know.
We're going back to that well again? Jesus.
Jessica's came where? To Michael Kors? Just, I rest my case.
I'm like, do you?
So she's like, guys, we've talked about this. And so I was like, well, did anything change? Did you talk about it with your husband? She goes, I told you about it. And Aaron's like, I thought you were going to go home and fuck him right away. She's like, no, I didn't. And actually, I talked to my friends, and they said it's not abnormal what I'm going through. And so I was like, I just spread my legs, like, even with my kids there, because they sleep on a different floor. Good for you, but also gross. Like, just, I don't like any of this. If you don't want to fuck, you shouldn't have to fuck just because your husband wants to, and just spread your legs and lay there and just let them do whatever. This is all disturbing me. I don't like it.
Bryn's like, if you start with a blowjob, it tends to go well after.
I didn't know you had a job. You didn't tell me about a job. You didn't tell me it was a blowjob.
Also, she said that she still gives blowjobs. So who's not listening now? Okay. So then Brin's,
I hate that we're defending Jessel so hard.
Like, well, Jessel's because they're going so hard on every stupid storyline that's not even a... They're trying to fight so hard over the dumbest things, and it's pissing me off. And now it's led to us talking for an hour about their stupid fights, which it's infuriating. It's like, now you've led me to talk about this, you know? And Brin's like, you know what's coming back? Hand jobs. Hand jobs never left, Brin. What the fuck? What kind of city is this? And if you're going to get a handy anywhere, it's in New York, okay? New York is like the best handies I ever got in my life. Do you know how many germs are in that city? There's people everywhere. Get a handy, okay? I don't trust anybody's goddamn mouths. There's so many hot dog stands on the street and so many places people are eating their germs. We'd all rather a hand job, Bryn. I don't know. When did you move to New York City?
Also, where was this announced? Was this in the back page of Elle magazine? Here's what's in for spring. Hand jobs. So Sara goes, hand jobs should die. And Uba goes, can I tell you something? Anything that has a job in it, I don't know. Oh, wacky, wacky, wacky.
Yeah, because Uba doesn't know what a hand job is either. Because that's Uba. What is hand job? Oh, okay. So you don't know what a hand job is. I'm not believing you anymore, ma'am. Okay? You've overplayed. You've overplayed your hand officially.
Job. So then we go to Jessel's apartment, and there's like vicious, terrible, screaming children running around like banshees. And Jessel's like, excuse me, you're not allowed to climb onto tables. You're not your mother. Wild and wacky I am, Jessel Tank.
So she's just trying to do family pictures for Christmas, and the photographer can't because our kids are satanic, you know? Yeah. She's like, I just want one picture, please.
And then Jess is like, we just need one good shot. And Pavitt goes, you know, this is actually going a lot better than I thought. She goes, yes, it's actually going way better. And if you smile, people will believe it. We love our children.
So then Bryn is shopping for food with a guy in a beret, and she's like, so wait a minute. Are you telling me that this bag is made from salmon?
Is that what she said? It's a salmon skin bag? I was confused. I think I was like, I thought maybe she meant the inside was like a salmon pink, but maybe it was salmon. I don't know. Whatever it was, I said,
I'm moving on.
I said, I'm not even going to put this energy into what's going on with this strange little cone-shaped bag. I know I'm supposed to be entertained by it. I can't, and I'm moving forward.
No, now I need to know. Salmon skin purse. They're a real
thing.
That's
a thing?
Salmon leather. Oh, good. Yeah.
I was afraid that that it wasn't enough that salmon was being fished unsustainably. I'm glad that now that someone finally decided to incorporate it in the bag.
At least they're using all of the fish.
Well, you know, you can use salmon skin, and salmon skin's been used in other ways. Sushi. Okay, you know what? I see myself already trying to like make a thing about this. I'm not.
I'm just not doing this.
Not every single like minor moment in this show needs to turn into some outrage diatribe.
So it didn't. I'm not trying to trap you into anything, but
I think honestly, Branzino for Thanksgiving. I think after that, it's been downhill for me. So
Branzino, one ply toilet paper, and being like forced into fucking your husband. It's like enough.
And I'll see those children. So then Uba's eating a hot dog. She's at a deli or something, and she's eating a hot dog, and she's doing wacky Uba stuff. She's like, this hot dog is so good. No. And there's like a guy there, and he's like, yeah. And she's like, how does the pickle become sour? I don't even know what a pickle is. And he's like, you brine it with garlic? She goes, oh, yes.
And she goes, which is your favorite pickle? And he goes, the same one that you're eating. It's just, oh my God. Have you ever tried ginger ale with this pickle? That's what I do. I have champagne glass, but I pretend it's champagne, but it's only ginger ale in it. And he's like, wow, really? It's like poor guy who's working behind the counter. Uba just comes in every day like, oh my God, how did you do this to this pickle? This place is so wild and crazy. Hold on. Get in a picture with me for the Yelp because I'm going to put wild and crazy mother trucker in this pickle place.
Hey, Uba, also congratulations on being a 7-year-old gay boy, because ginger ale in a champagne glass, that is not something new to you, okay? When you were a kid, if you ever got a hold on those like plastic champagne flutes or the ones that were like the plastic hoops, Did you not fill those with ginger ale and act like a fancy person?
I do it as an adult sometimes, just to get people to get off my ass. Because if I don't have a fucking full martini in my hand, people are like, Ronnie, have you finally realized you're an alcoholic? Do you need help? Do you need support? They're like hugging me, like taking me outside to have private talks, asking me how I'm doing. So I just have to pretend I'm drinking at all times. Otherwise, people think my world is ending.
Yeah, I'm like, Uba, you should go to really any school play across the United States and see a sixth grader with ginger ale in their glass pretending to be an adult.
Okay. She's like, you know what I like to do sometimes after I eat these pickles? Like, it's crazy. I like to go outside and stand there and have a cigarette, but I don't smoke, so I just get a stick piece of candy and, like, I pretend I'm smoking. It's so crazy.
Sometimes I like to pretend I'm much older than I am and I put baking soda in my hair and I look like old lady. It's wacky. I'm just all pulling out all the tricks from the school plays.
So then we go to Size, and she's going through boxes from her assistants. Wow. So she really does get sent nice stuff, because I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see her open her, like, I don't know, like her Yasso ice cream bars or whatever she's getting in there. But she's getting, like, Fendi and Versace and shit. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, she gets nice stuff, and she talks about how, like, she gets all these gifts, and, you know, she talks about how she majored in biology in school, but she always and she was gonna, like, be a pediatrician, but she always loved fashion, so she got an internship with Alberto Ferretti, and then that kind of, like, took her down that path, and she started to code, and she built her own website, sounds like in the early 2010s, and she was, like, writing about fashion and her daughter, and it went viral because I guess BuzzFeed did an article about her, and that kind of, like, threw her into the world of influencing, more or less.
Yes, and she's like, and that's how I got to where I am. So we see where she gets her famous boxing robe that says Psy, and it's from Versace. He sent her her own, well, not him, but they sent her her own boxing robe that says Psy. And she's like, bitches, I'm extra. Excuse me. Do you know my name? And she's like, yeah, you know, people think that this is just like some lady taking like pictures. But you know what? I have a lawyer. I have a manager. I have an attorney. So I got something from Bobby Brown Complexion. It's instructions on how to do Bobby Brown stuff. So it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I actually was a little surprised. I didn't realize that. I'm not surprised that someone has an accountant. You know, when she's like, I have a lawyer, I have an accountant. I was like, okay, well, that's not like a big deal. But she has a brand manager, and she has people on payroll, which I was actually pretty surprised. I was like, I'm learning something from Psy. Yeah, she talks about being an influencer, and I was immediately bored again. So
that's I'm bored. I can't help it. Sorry. I mean, I get her thing, like, it's a job, and I get the world we live in now that's a job and everything. And congrats on your job. Your job bores the fuck out of me. So next, like, to me, you're like a really pretty Costco sample person, but on the internet. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, I'm not opposed to people doing influencing and doing things like that, but I am opposed to people talking about it as if it's interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just bored with it. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So then we go to Greca and Jessel. Oh, God. Okay, so then we get a Jessel and Aaron. One of the first let's go to lunch and have a confrontation scenes of Real Housewives of New York. The new
Someone on Twitter class. Was complaining that this show is just happening in people's houses. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. They're rarely in public. And so finally, we've had one scene in public where they went to a restaurant in the Hamptons and Uba took the coconut milk. And then everything else has been in living rooms. So now we're finally going, like, dipping a toe into the world of New York City. Because everyone's like, this is the real New York. And yet New York is oddly not present in any of this show. So now we are taking a dip into New York City. Jessel and Aaron are meeting up in Tribeca. This is important to know that they're in Tribeca because it becomes the next petty fight. And Aaron's like, so thanks for coming to downtown. And Jessel's like,
but I have to start like even before that because Jessel just cracks me up, like literally everything she does. Okay, so she comes into this place. It's empty because it's in Tribeca. And whatever we say going forward in this scene, Tribeca is empty as fuck and we all know it. Okay, I stay there sometimes when we go to New York and that's why I stay there because it's empty and everything closes. Okay, I love that about Tribeca. So anyway, she goes in there and Jessel is like a typical uptown kind of lady. She goes in there and she's like, I'll do an Americano. Do you have oat milk here?
Has oat milk made its way to Tribeca yet?
Has it found you yet? Doing... Because, you know, the streets don't just go straight up and down here. We're in Tribeca where everything's very confusing, apparently.
Do you have internet here? Because if you do, then you could research it.
You've heard of oat milk, have you? All right, bring some of that over. So Erin comes in and she's like, thanks for coming downtown.
I know. Jess was like, well, I don't usually look this done up, but I had an event because her face, she has like anchor lady makeup on, you know? And Erin's like, Jess and I are like not in a place where we're like going to coffee. Like clearly she wants to talk to me about something. Like maybe Jessel realizes she was annoying AF, because kids say that, AF, yeah, in the Hamptons. And she's coming to me to say sorry for being a pain in the ass at your house. Hopefully.
Really? How about where's your sorry for no heat in your rooms, Graham? So Jess is like, are you coming to my event on Thursday? I'm very excited about it. And Erin's like, yeah, I guess that'll be fun. And she's like, is it being, oh, Erin goes, is it being catered? He's like, what? And she goes, so have you been to this place? It's my local spot. And she goes, oh, yes. Well, a couple of my friends are talking about moving to Tribeca. This neighborhood is really up and coming. Look at that. I just looked outside. There were actually lines in the middle of the road now where people will know which side to be on.
Oh,
very
not,
good. Well done.
Not even one abyss. They've paved them all over. Wonderful. They've done great works here with these roads. So Jessel's like, Aaron's like, it's there. Is it there though? I mean, I feel like as soon as like it needs the restaurant, it needs, I don't know, like, you know what it could really use? Like a film festival or like a celebrity that shepherds in the film festival. Is it really there? I just feel like it's less potential more than anything.
I mean, it's
else.
Got potential. Yeah, it's got potential. And Aaron's like, potential. It's like the most like famous zip code in New York. I mean, I'm not saying that to brag. It's like, it's already there. Okay. It's not up and coming. It's up and came. It came. Okay.
But it has try in its name, and I feel like you don't have to try once you've arrived. Am I right?
I just knew this really awkward girl in high school named Becca. And we'd always just say, oh, try, Becca, try. She just never could, really.
That is, catch on with British humor. She's sort of like you in that way. So Aaron's like, I am at a loss for words. As a real estate person, this is the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard in my life. As a New Yorker, that just doesn't go. Like, what this tells me is you know absolutely nothing about New York City, okay? And you just got here yesterday. I'm like, yeah, she just got here. She literally said she just moved to New York recently. Right? Or am I thinking that?
I don't know how, I don't think she got to New York recently, but.
Well, I guess she's been there for 20 years. Never mind.
She's been there a long, yeah, I don't remember that. I remember her being there a long time because she knows everybody in New York, we find out later. But
to me, it says that she does know New York City because she knows the way that she can get under your skin is by shading your neighborhood. And a New Yorker knows how to do that.
Well, also, we see every time people are forced to go downtown on Real Housewives of New York, they're always grossed out. They're always like, ew, who comes down here? People who, that is very New York to be very neighborhood braggy. People in Tribeca think they're the only cool fucking neighborhood who has cobblestone streets. And people get confused because the streets don't run the same way. And people in Soho are the same, and then people on the Upper East Side never leave the Upper East Side, and people on the Upper West Side think they're the only artists that matter in the fucking city, you know?
Sorry. Fuck faces.
Sorry. No, it's just very New York to me to be like, fuck Tribeca. Like, nothing happens here. All the restaurants close at 7, and the ones that don't suck. Okay?
Yeah, we recently went to Tribeca, and we had dinner in Tribeca, and guess what? We were in a hotel lobby. And we got shushed.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. We wouldn't have gotten shushed in a more active and fun neighborhood.
And actually, now that you say that, I remember we drove up to that restaurant. It was bustling. It was
bustling.
A great restaurant, by the way. I think
loved
also because they let us order anything off the menu.
It was literally such a good restaurant.
But it was good. And it was bustling. And I remember we came up to that and I was like, wow, Tribeca's really... like caught on, because for years you go to Tribeca and literally nobody is there.
We're like, it's really up and coming in here. And we saw Justin Bieber and we're like, look, Justin Bieber, it's up and coming. Look at there's Haley. But then guess what? Then we got shushed at night. So is it really up and coming?
It's up and shushing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jess is like, okay, so I just wanted to grab a coffee. She goes, yeah, I didn't really understand what this was about, so... She goes, well, you know how I walked in and I didn't know about your grandmother, first of all, dying, you know, and I just didn't feel like you were your normal, warm self. And I just wanted to make sure if everything was good. And then we see the clip of her coming up at friends going and going, oh, your grandmother died. Oh. Hello, Cy, hi, darling.
Well, that's unfortunate about your grandmother. I love Jessel's balls to say, you know, I didn't know your grandmother died. I just, you know, you weren't your normal warm self. I'm like, yeah, because her grandmother died. So Aaron's like, no, everything was fine. Like, to be honest with you, I just feel like we're very different people. Like, I just don't really understand the way you sometimes are. And it makes, that makes, almost makes me uncomfortable. And Aaron, she's like, you're like smiling and happy. And then you're not. You seem like you're like being positive, but then you're actually upset about something, like at the Hamptons. Like, oh, so she's not allowed to have different emotional reactions to things? Is that the issue?
So this is what I think. Like, you're used to being like treated a certain way, and maybe I wasn't catering to you the way that you're used to being catered to. She goes, oh, so you're saying I'm a princess. She goes, well, I mean, maybe a little bit. Is that bad? Oh, you don't mean it bad?
So then why are you bringing it up? And so Jess goes, well, a princess, that doesn't work, apparently, because I've had this conversation before. And Hearn's like, well, you told me you weren't working right now. And that was what? That was like 18 months ago that you told me. So like that, of course, is going to stay absolutely true for the rest of your life, right?
It's like, I didn't tell you that. Just, okay, well, I don't remember having that conversation then. Okay, well, let me tell you that so I don't have to repeat this. I launched my own consultancy. I'm taking clients. I'm working. I embrace women in the workplace. And Aaron's like, excuse me, don't. So I don't embrace women now. Yeah, I would watch that. I would watch that if I were you.
This is like an inference off. It's like, oh, so I'm a princess now? Oh, so I don't embrace women? Oh, so I don't like to wear shoes? Oh, so I have a pineapple as a head? Is that what you're saying? It's like they're each like inferring the most random things out of stuff.
So, but you just said I don't work. Oh, well, mazel tov for starting your business. Oh, really? Am I getting married in a temple now? Is that what's happening now? Am I?
Oh, so now I'm Mormon. I'm going to have to go to the temple in Salt Lake City. Oh, so my sodium is too high. Is that what you're saying, Salt Lake City?
She's like, I did not know you launched your consultancy, but don't even try to say I don't build women up, because that's not okay. And Jess is like, well, we need to support each other, and I just didn't feel that support from you. And she's like, this is why I have trouble with Jessel. Like, I didn't even know she was working again because she didn't tell me, and now I don't support women, which is incredibly insulting. I was like, how is that more insulting than you sitting down and telling someone, I just don't think we're the same kind of people. Like, I just don't even understand what you are. Like, what are you? Like, we're just too different. Like, I can't even be friends with you. Like, you're just like sitting down and cutting right to somebody's personality and being like, no, I don't get you. Like, I just don't like you, period. And that's okay. But somebody saying, you know, you didn't remember that I told you I was working is the most offensive thing you've ever heard. I can't.
So Aaron's like, oh, I didn't know you started back up again. I said it a few times. Well, and you just said that you feel like I'm being used to, like, get being catered to and that I'm a princess. Well, I'm sorry you're getting upset. I must have really triggered you. And Jessel's like, well, I've just never been called a princess before. And while I do appreciate that higher station in life as a princess, I've never had anyone ever say, like, oh, you seem like you're someone who needs to be catered to.
Bullshit. No one has ever called you a princess. I know that's a damn lie. Now, I know I've been yelling at Aaron this whole time, but if you honestly think this is the first time that anyone's ever told you you're an asshole, LOL. That's funny. So Jessel's like, I'm an immigrant. I was like, well, you're still a princess. I'm like, oh, immigrants can be princesses too. Sorry.
But I'm an immigrant in this country. I came here. I had nothing but some no good husband, and I worked my way to Jenna Lyons' best friendship. So am I? So being catered to? No, that's extremely condescending. Although I do get a free Oreo subscription box every month that I put in my jaw. Yes.
And Aaron's like, yeah, I just feel like we're not really the same. And she goes, we're not on the same page. Yeah, I get it. I'm like, no, this is. She's not saying you're not on the same page. This is the second time she said you're not the same. Like, you're in different leagues. Okay, you're talking to Aaron now. Aaron's really pissing me off. Can you tell?
Well, she's just not interesting enough to be this, like this fighty. You know, like,
just
if you're going to start
fighting.
If you're going to be an asshole, be an interesting asshole. But she's just sort of like a very boring asshole.
She's like, you
asshole.
Can't sit at our table, but your table sucks. Like, nobody wants to sit at your table. You know what I mean? Like, why are you acting like the gatekeeper of the table?
Yeah.
So Jessel's like, yeah, I came here and I had nothing and I worked my way to a round couch. So how about that? And Aaron's like, yeah, we're not the same. And Jessel goes, not on the same page? Well, yeah, okay. Well, I guess I don't have time for fake friends. So I guess cheers to that. Are you sure this is oat milk? It's a little soyish to me.
So Aaron's like, well, I really have to get back to work, which I definitely do. And Jessel's like, same. I have to take off my makeup from my earlier work experience today to get ready for later work experiences this evening because I work. So Aaron's like, oh, so are you going to work? I'm joking. I'm totally joking. See, aren't
you
laughing?
Jessel does that. Jessel's like, ha, 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 ha. She does that thing where she laughs really fakely and then looks at her phone and refuses to look at your face. I love that. When people are like, ha, 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 I'm done with you. I'm now swiping through Insta spam, darling. So then Jessel tells us she's really disappointed. And she's like, I thought we would have a laugh over coffee, a cackle, if you will. But gosh, we took 5 steps backwards instead of forwards. And so they leave. She leaves awkwardly and Aaron just stays behind. And Aaron stays behind and goes, so fucking weird. What a lunatic.
Oh, God. The way she just, like, walked out of the restaurant, just a pure lunatic, that one.
The way she said goodbye and then left. God, we are so not the same.
So now we go over to Jenna's apartment, and her friend Heather comes by. And Heather's like, hi, did you order a stripper? And Jenna's like, oh, so, you ever see those things on Instagram where it's like, sell my clothes? Well, I need to do that again. Long and the short of it is that Jenna has a lot of clothes and she wants to sell some of them. And she talks about how people give her shit for having so many clothes. But she's like, but photographers, no one asks photographers why they have an archive of their photos. And she's like, this is what I did. And I'm rich enough to have space for all these clothes, so why don't I get to have all my clothes, you fuckers?
Well, I love that this scene starts off with this new weird Trixie monocle, like for the New York of the new age. The song goes like this. I want to see the sun come up. I want to make it through. What the fuck kind of music is this? Was it when you're playing suicide music? Are you playing someone on their deathbed music to go into Jenna Lyons cleaning out of her closet scene? Who the hell is in charge over there? I want to see the sun come up. I want to make it through. Have you been human trafficked? Are you locked in a basement? How can I help you?
Yeah, there's a lot of tonal issues with this show, if you ask me. So, yeah. And by the way, though, I have to applaud Heather, new friend Heather, because she said, you know what I want to do? I want to look like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. I think that's a look that has to come back.
I wrote that too. She really does. She looks like she's in full on boily running mode. And so they have to go downstairs to her storage and bring stuff up. And this is kind of, I'm not making a direct correlation here, but Jenna sometimes does give that. She's gonna have some future Sonia Morgan, I think, in her. Like, I think her delusion is gonna grow over the years because she's got a lot of that, like, okay, we have to clean out my closet, so this is what I wore when I met the Obamas. I'm like, okay.
Well,
you've met the Obamas, okay? Like, she's starting to get a lot of that. Like, we just need to clean out my closet so I can talk about how I met Beyonce in this dress. And I'm seeing some future Sonia Morgan creeping into you, man.
So I think there's a difference. I know what you're saying. I think there's a difference because what I love about it is that Jenna met all these important people because of her skill and because of what she contributed to society and fashion and whatever, as opposed to a socialite who, had a peak and had money and then it was gone. And by the way, I don't disapprove of being a socialite. I think it's great. What a life to live. You just get to do all that stuff. But I think that, like, Jenna, her, like, talents and her career brought her to these heights. And I think that what's funny to me is that how it's very name droppy, but it also just shows how she really is in like a whole different sphere than the rest of her cast members. Like, we still don't even know what Brynn does. Like, we literally have no idea what Brynn's job is. If I didn't go onto like the Bravo website to look her up, I would have zero idea. All I know, the most I know is from this episode, which is that she sometimes plays chess. Like, we have had no insight in like, where does she get her money? What does she do on a day-to-day basis? Is she in fashion? Is she in PR? Is she an influencer? Who is Brynn? But I kind of love this.
I know what you're saying. And I'm not saying she's just like Sonia. I know Sonia's delusional. Like, and also, Jenna's are true. Jenna's stories are all true. Whereas Sonia's are like, well, did you though? When she's like, oh yeah, I just partied with John all the time. We were like this. We were like, and Madonna, you know, and you're like, but did you? So hers is a delusion. I guess that's why I'm saying it's not like a direct correlation.
But it's like,
I can see in 20 years, I can see Jenna in a weird scarf, you know, without hot water, saying like, oh my God, Beyonce wore this skirt, and kind of dancing around her house. I can see her going a little Grey Gardens in the future.
But I will say, in support of your point, I feel like Heather's reactions to everything sort of supports that, because, you know, Jenna's like, oh, this one is when I met the Obamas, and everything Heather is like, oh my God, that's iconic, sell it. Or like, oh, I love this, this is beautiful, sell it. It sort of had Heather's the vibe of like, I know this story.
Oh, yeah.
You have three more of them.
Because she really is. She says, I can't sell this. I met the Obamas. She goes, okay, you can keep that. She goes, well, I met Kate Middleton wearing this one. She goes, sell it. She goes, Beyonce actually wore this one. She goes, incredible. Sell it.
I was like, wow, I would not sell the Beyonce one, but, you know.
Yeah, so Jenna's like, yeah, well, my senior project from Parsons, Donna Karen was like, you know what? You should quilt it. And I was like, you know what? I don't have money. So I actually made it from a comforter, which is crazy. And she wears it. And Heather's like, okay, you can keep that one.
I just want to point out that like Jenna's 10-second story about being in Parsons and having a senior project and not having enough money to properly quilt her garment, so she had to use a comforter, was already like significantly more interesting than the 10 minutes we spent last week of Erin talking about like growing up in real estate and coloring in books with Gwyneth and Brad in a conference room, which doesn't even make sense age-wise, as many people pointed out. Like, why was she coloring in books when she was 17? But either way, it just shows how much more interesting. I don't know why I keep going to this.
Wait,
well,
what do you mean the age thing? What?
Well, 17? Okay, so how old is Erin? She's probably like 35, 37.
Okay.
Well, Brad Pitt's about to turn 60, which is really crazy. But Gwyneth Paltrow's probably like 50, right? But either way.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow was probably
50, yeah. Gosh, you're good. She is exactly 50.
Is
you're
she really?
Very good. Yes. You're wow. So talented.
Call me up, Goop. I can be an influencer for you. Just call me Cy. Let's see. So she's 50 now. And Brad and Gwyneth were together around like 96, 97.
Erin's 36. God, you really are good. You're very good.
96, 97, 20. Okay, you know what? The math works out. I do believe that Erin was in coloring book age at that time in 96. If Erin is 37,
and that was
96. This is like honestly the worst thing I've ever talked about on the podcast. Like, literally the worst content I've ever provided for the listeners is Erin coloring book math as based off of with Paltrow's age.
Well, listen, we can only base our stuff on what we're given. Okay, so if you're mad about this, then blame fucking Erin. That's who should be blamed. So then we get this song. Okay. I'm only one step away. I've got to keep on moving. Who is locking Trixie Monocle up? This is all done. Someone has shoved Trixie in the back of a car and made her a prisoner, and she's stuck in a basement somewhere. Every song is pointing to the fact that somebody needs to say. She's like, I'm only a step away. I'm so close, but I can't get out.
But she's very committed to making music during these experiences, which always. I applaud. And yeah, she got Trixie that music out there.
She'll be like, Branzino, because I'm a girl, Branzino. Go, Branzino. Go, go, Branzino.
She got sued by Andrew Lloyd Webber, coming too close, go, 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 Joseph. Or go, go, Branzino. So Bryn is at a coffee shop. And she gets there, and the guy working behind the counter is like, "And this is a complimentary cookie on the house. My mom made them," which I believe
get
is a
lie.
Get
the fuck out of here. Is your mother even approved? Where's the state board that judges these things? Where's the health advisory board or whoever the fuck that gives grades? I don't want to eat your mom's fucking cookies.
Don't try to do a mom flex, okay? Because Erin just flexed at her mom's old 3 Lincoln Center, and your mom made a cookie. So, you know what? Just hold on to it, sir.
Right. You're the barista. Get the fuck out of here with your mom, your fucking mom publicity.
Sorry that Joanne Pepperidge can't be here to advocate for herself, but we all know where that cookie came from, okay?
Does Aston Flowers and Cafe know that you're just serving your random mom's baked shit in their store?
Do you think this is your path to Shark Tank? And you'd be like, "Well, I was a barista and the Real Housewives of New York came in and it just like took off like wildfire, my mom's cookies."
And Bryn's like, "That is literally delicious. You've got a good mom." I'd fuck her. I'd totally fuck your mom. Tell your mom I'd fuck her and her scones. Yeah.
So Sai shows up and she orders tea, and I noticed, at least for the moment, I was like, "Oh, Sai did not get a complimentary cookie, and she's the one who's actually an influencer." Wow, it's like this guy really is fucking up his cookie game. But
didn't
I think he
she?
Like, well, she eventually did, because he then came over to the table and was like, "Here's your complimentary cookie." He like realized, he's like, "Shit, I gave the cookie to the wrong person."
Yeah, she got her scone. Yeah, don't
got it.
Listen. This don't.
I'm saying as
guy,
I was watching
his
in
mom.
Real time,
don't make his mom get rid of him. His mom's like, "Fuck you." So the actual influencer came. You didn't give her a scone. You're out.
Let me tell you something. Okay, I am saying, as I watched in real time, he did not offer her an Insta cookie the way he offered Bryn an Insta cookie. But then later on, he came up to the table and gave the cookie. So for a good 30 seconds, I was like, fuck this guy for playing favorites. And he played favorites with the wrong person, because Sai is the one who actually is the influencer.
Don't
it's a great show.
Go.
I love this show.
So Bryn's like has like this little, you know, it's one of those like little chess sets you buy at like Tuesday
like
morning, you know,
or
they
Tuesday
have
morning.
Like mini games. I made that mistake once where I bought games from there and they were all mini. And my family was like, "What kind of family game night is this? Like at the Smurfs? I'm not playing with that." So anyway, it's a mini thing. So she's like, "As a kid, I wanted to do ballet, but it was really expensive. So So now that I'm an adult, I do fencing, I do chess, I do violin lessons, piano lessons. Everything I wanted to do as a kid, I do now as an adult." Which I think is kind of cute.
I actually loved that. I think that's. I think it's so cool that she actually has hobbies.
I do that too. Everything I wanted to do as a kid, I do now. Like as a kid, I wanted to just eat and lie down. And that's like literally all I do now. So whenever I'm depressed, I'm like, "You are living the life you've always dreamt about." Okay.
I feel like so few people on Real Housewives actually have hobbies beyond just like fashion. So to hear that she's like, "Oh yeah, I like to do fencing." Or now she has this like little chess set and she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to play in a chess tournament soon." I was like, "Whoa, that's actually really cool." So, so Bryn is like, "Hey, guess what? I got a call from Jessel and she was like, 'I'm just over the Hamptons.' And she's like, 'I met up with Erin and like, I had to tell her, like, I want to move on from all of this.'" And then Bryn says that Jessel told her that she met up with Erin.
And so I was like, "Oh yeah, let's spill the tea and play some chess." Get it? "Hey, can I get some tea over here? Could I get some tea? Because we're going to spill some tea."
It's like, "Oh God, here she goes.
Can you feed me?"
So then Erin comes and Sai's like, "Hey, Erin, get some coffee and then let me know about the tea. Yeah, we're going to talk about tea after you get your coffee."
And Erin's like, "Oh my God." Erin says, "You know, Jess and I had two different conversations. We had like we did not have the same one. It was like talking to a chatbot. Like you enter an information and then like out comes word salad." I'm like, "Do you even hear what Sai is saying over here? Coffee, tea, spill the tea, coffee, hot bitch."
Sai's like, "Oh my God. So did you get your coffee? Did you get cream in it? Did you get cream for the tea? Because we're about to spill some tea. Hey, anybody got napkins? Because some tea's about to spill over here, right?"
Aaron's like, okay, guys, get ready, because this is going to break the internet and put our show on the map. So we sit down, and she's like, this area is cute. Very up and coming. Up and coming? Tribeca? It's up and coming? And they're all like, oh, my God. Ah!
They just think it's hilarious. And Brent's like,
I think it was up and coming when, like, JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette lived there. So maybe that's when it was up and coming, stupid.
And Aaron's like, yeah, she's, like, shitting on my neighborhood. So, and Sai says, maybe she didn't know where she was, you know? Like, wow, like, some tea. Maybe
she thought she was in a coffee shop, but she was in a tea house because she was spilling tea on a... You can't spell Tribeca without T.
So Bryn goes, oh, you don't know. I got a phone call this morning. And Aaron goes, from her? And Bryn goes, oh, you know we're having a proper conversation when all you know is the pronoun? Like, everyone knows who we're talking about when you only say her. Like, I got a call from her, and everybody, like, totally, because you're talking about her. You're like, literally, God, you people.
That's how pronouns work. If you're talking about someone, you can slip in a pronoun and people understand it.
Idiotic. So, it's idiotic at this point, the conversations. Like, come on.
Like, I can imagine laughing at someone say, like, I can imagine someone saying something stupid like, oh, Tribeca's up and coming. Because Tribeca is, honestly, it's not up and coming. It obviously has arrived. I can imagine, like, laughing about it. But the fact that they're actually angry about it is what's ridiculous. So Bryn is like... Bryn says, like,
yeah, Jessel said she wants, like everyone won't stop talking about the Hamptons, and, like, let's stop talking about the Hamptons.
So Aaron goes, no one was, like, trying to attack you, okay? We just voiced our opinion so you could understand how that was wrong. And I was like, maybe you're up sheltered. Or, like, no one told you what you did wrong. And she was like, so you're calling me a princess? And I was like, I didn't say that. And, like, you called yourself a princess. And, like, all of a sudden, she starts welling up in tears. Welling up. I'm like...
That no, she wasn't. So never this happened. Is the other thing that makes me crazy. Aaron's just a fucking liar, okay? She's just lying at this point because this didn't happen. And when she says we had two conversations, yeah, because you're coloring it to the point where it's not even true anymore. She was not crying, and she did not accuse you of
Did not cry, and she didn't even get emotional. She was literally smiling.
Yeah, she said, so you're calling me a princess and you're making it sound like this horrible thing, you know? And Bryn's like, well, I love that she calls you a cackling hag and then you call her a princess and she's the one that cries. And Aaron's like, yeah, you just can't say anything to Jessel. She's just, like, going to get offended and, like, everyone has to walk on it. You are literally the one who's been offended by everybody in the cast so far.
Every single episode, it's Aaron being offended about shakshuka, about catch, about... temperature, about caviar. Like, literally, Aaron loses her mind.
She was offended that Jenna stayed at her own home. She was offended that someone didn't want her. Yeah. Her shakshuka. I mean, it's like every little thing.
And now she's offended by Tribeca, by saying Tribeca is up and coming. So Bryn is like,
she keeps saying, like, I want to move on, but, like, she's bringing stuff up and you're, like, not taking steps to, like, move on. Like, all it would take is, like, yeah, I did it. Like, what's up?
I'm like, no, but she didn't bring it. She didn't bring it up. She was talking with Jenna about it. Jenna told the girls that she said cackling hags, and then Aaron made a scene about cackling hags, which then begat another scene to smooth out the cackling hags thing.
Bryn also says you don't take the steps to just say you did it. She did say that she did it multiple times, and she doesn't give a fuck. That she did. And Sai goes, yeah, there's no accountability. That's just how she is. She literally took accountability. And Bryn's like,
yeah, usually I take accountability and then I let it go. But if you, like, don't take accountability, then I let you go.
So Aaron's like, I mean, she was like, you're a woman in business. I'm a woman and I support other women. And I was like, don't you dare.
And Sai's like, well, she obviously has, like, a lot going on. Like, something is wrong with her. Like obviously something's wrong.
So, like, yes, let's continue to pile on then.
So now I need to know, you hag, are you going to her event? And Aaron's like, well, I wasn't going to, but then she said I don't support women, so I'm not giving into that. Like, I'm going to go now.
I was like, oh, so you weren't going to support women until you were accused of not supporting women? Okay.
I know. Yeah. And so then, meanwhile, Bryn and Sai are back to playing chess, and Bryn's apparently doing very badly. And she's like, rule number one, protect your pawns. Try to flirt with them, maybe have sex with them, whatever you can do. Like, pawns are your most important thing. So people sacrifice them, you gotta protect your pawns. So I was like, why am I listening to your advice? I'm fucking owning you. I've never played chess before.
So then we go to Jessel's apartment, and she's with Aisha, her designer. Not her designer, but the designer that she's throwing the party for.
Not the chief stew on Below Deck, which would also be hilarious.
Jessel, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. We're making orange purses for children in India. It's wonderful. I just put carrot juice on an Indian child's head and I said, you'll make it, little one. You'll make it.
So, Jessel's like, I'm really excited to launch my first ever fashion consultancy. It's called The Know, as in, you're in the know. K-N-O-W. I had to explain that 6 times to Poffett, because he refused to understand. And then he just kept on saying no to me, and I said, I love your support of my brand, but I think in this case, you're saying no, like N-O to me, and I don't appreciate that.
Poffett suggested the name because every time he asks for something, I say no. And he says, you say no so many times, it's basically your brand. And I thought, you know what? It should be Poffett. It's the first intelligent thing you've said since you've impregnated me. Now get out of the room.
So Poffett's sitting there and he's got a carrot and a champagne. And she's like, that is not normal. What are you doing? There's a woman from Vogue who's going to have pink circles on her cheeks coming over. You cannot have a carrot in your wine.
Half of these people wear carrots as earrings, darling. You can't just have it in a champagne glass. Don't disrespect natural fruits and vegetables in this house. So she tells us about herself. She's like, Aisha used to run creative design for Michael Kors. You might remember him as the leather handbag who used to be a judge on Project Runway. And I used to run Michael Kors as PR. And I've just seen her flourish into this incredible designer. And I want to support her. She goes on to her own endeavors.
I was like, okay, so she seems to like actually have a really good resume, right?
Yeah, she does. So then we go over to Jenna's apartment and she's decorating her Christmas tree with Becca, her son, and also her goddaughters. And they're all in jumpsuits. And Jenna's
Violet
like,
and Isabel, her indentured servants. Do we even believe that they're real goddaughters at this point? Because I'm starting to wonder, I just already brought up Sonia, but I'm starting to wonder if she's getting interns that she calls goddaughters. I've never seen somebody with so many goddaughters that are working.
I know. I noticed that they keep on, there's like more and more each time. The goddaughter. It's like, I feel like it's like some weird version of Pinocchio. Like they're all going to like grow donkey ears. So, so they're all like putting up the Christmas tree stuff. And Jenna, it turns out Jenna is like a real big Christmas person, which I was a little surprised at. I thought she'd be like, I don't really like Christmas. I just wrap my tree up in khaki and call it a day. But she's actually super into it. And she talks about how she loves the music and she loves listening to Mariah. And she says, she's like, I love lots of lights on the tree. It's like sequins on a plant.
And she's like, I don't get much time with Beckett, so this is it. You know, I'm sorry to miss the thing, but we're doing ornaments on the tree tonight, and that's it. So then we go to Jessel's, and the fashion people start coming. And God, I just fucking love fashion people, because they all look crazy. It's like, are you auditioning to play a mushroom in the Mario sequel? Like, what are you... Who's dressing you people?
It's it like, definitely felt like a French circus.
Yes, and then it's like the guy from Looney Tunes. He's like, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. But he's dressed like Elton John. Like, I fucking love fashion people. I want to be a fashion person. I would never, as an old Navy gay, I would never be allowed into this world. But God, I love looking into it.
They literally all look like little characters you meet when you play Zelda. I was like, because I'm playing Zelda right now, and I was like, oh, I think I just did a side quest with that editor from Paper Magazine. So Jessel is like, so of course, by the way, when all these like important people come by, which also, by the way, these are like, all of them are like very important people. They all have very impressive names, okay, and titles.
Yes.
But when they come in, Jessel puts on full on Jenna Lyons Jessel face, where she's like, okay, Poffett, put your carrot away. Put that carrot away right now.
Oh, hello, crazy person from Paper Nylon Magazine. Good to see you.
Hello, Head of Paper Magazine. Thank you for coming to this very important fundraiser for impoverished children in India. He's like, are they hungry? No, they can eat. They can't afford purses. Right? It's purses for paws, all right? Everybody have a drink. Purses for paws.
Purses for paws. Oh, and look at you. Hello, person who knows Anna Wintour. I know you, which means I know Anna Wintour. Come in, come in. No carrots in the wine here.
Oh, it's just funny that the people who are in charge of fashion are just like 80-year-old ladies who look like they have thimbles on their head. It like makes it makes.
They all look like Gail Green from yes. Top Chef Masters.
And we just all believe it. We're like, okay, they're the pro.
It works
so
for me.
I guess I'll believe that lady who looks like she just. It looks like a display at the Hobby Lobby who just walked off of a shelf and came
and
to
I
a
support
party.
It. I trust their style intrinsically. I trust anything that they say. And what's also funny is that Psy walks in and none of them give a fuck. She's the fashion influencer walks in and none of the editors turn their head. No one says, oh, hi. Oh, my goodness. Good to see you again. They just don't even pay attention to her.
So she's like, is this a shoe house or a not shoe house? Because you can't wear shoes at my house. So we should wear shoes at this house.
And Justin's like, you can keep your shoes on, please. In fact, please keep your shoes on. Oh, you must be so tired. Thank you so much for coming. And so I was like, I am so tired. You have snacks, right? See, because what I like, you and Aaron, like I heard you and Aaron got into a thing and you got really emotional about it. It's like, just come in. Like, who does that? You're so fucking rude. Just come in, hug everybody, say hi, and get a drink. Like, do you have to immediately come in and just shit all over the woman in her own home?
Actually, I support that. I support that because I've been on the record too much saying, like, I'm so sick of these, like, 10-minute entrances that are like fashion shows. Just get into it. So I can't complain that someone just gets into it. So Jessel was like, she's like, I heard that, you know, you got emotional. And Jess was like, I wasn't emotional. It was awkward. And Sai goes, yeah, well, she called you a princess and you cried, didn't you? And Jess was like, no, she didn't call me a princess. She said, I think you're being catered to. And I was like, oh, like, so you're like calling me a princess, which I thought actually showed Jessel really owning up to it, because Aaron's thing that she was saying before at the coffee place was that Aaron was like, and then I said, you're acting like you seem like someone who's been catered to. And then she was like, are you calling me a princess? And I was like, I never said princess. So the fact that Jessel did not continue that narrative of like, I can't believe she called me a princess. The fact that she was open about the fact that Aaron didn't call. Oh my God.
Aaron takes things and twists them. Aaron takes things that are happening and she twists them to make herself some hero and the other person a villain. Whereas Jessel tells you exactly what was said. So far, I'm learning, I believe Jessel over Aaron. Any day.
Right.
100%. So Sai's like, don't be offended then. She goes, what? Who said I was offended? And Sai's like, well, listen, you do come. She says, I'm sorry. Jessel says, so I took offense because I'm like, I came here with no money and I worked my ass off. And maybe I give off a certain vibe sometimes. And Sai goes, yeah, you come off like you come from money. Like there's some old money vibe there. Like maybe it's the English accent. I don't know. Jessel's like, okay, so now they're making assumptions based on how I talk and how I look. Isn't that illegal in America?
No, I think that's like an American pastime, unfortunately. So yeah. Sai's like, well, don't be offended. If someone looked at me like I was old money, I'd be like, yes, darling. So now Sai's trying to rebrand all this. So then Uber arrives, and then Jessel's like, Uber, what is this? What have you brought? And I guess Uber has some cookies. And Jess is like, these are my favorite cookies, but Puffett won't let me put them in the Oreo jar because Puffett only likes Oreos. So unfortunate.
I hope you like them. They're cookies with Uber hot. Because, you know, ever since I'm a model, I don't like just cookie. I like it with hot on it.
And then she goes, she orders from the bartender, could I have a ginger ale in a champagne glass? I'm like, oh, please don't let this be a thing.
So that's officially her thing now. So Jessel's like, well, if you'll excuse me, I need to say hello to people. So she walks off and Bryn comes. And who says you look so Stanford, so old money?
Sai is telling her. Yeah.
Yeah, so Sai's just telling her what happened, right?
Right. And Bryn's like, yeah. Well, Bryn's joking because Bryn's like, yeah, I look like old money. That's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And Bryn's saying
like,
how she would love to be called
that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah. And they're like joking about, like, she's joking how she would love to be called a princess. And then they're joking about her blazer, like, where'd you get your blazer from? And she's like, I only wear men's blazers. And she's like, this jacket is actually made from a brand called None of Your Business. It's nobody's business where I came from. It's my blazer now. I'm like, meanwhile, this is like, you're one third of the people who are like going in on Jessel every 5 seconds about when you're having sex. When you're having sex, do you have sex yet? Do you have sex? You're gonna have sex tonight? And now it's like they can't even ask about where the blazer's from. And I know I sound like I'm taking this way too seriously, and I agree with you, and I'm like really embarrassed for myself right now.
Well, hey, well, I mean, what are you going to do? It's what we're watching. So these purses are these, like, they look like gardening bags. I don't know how else to put them, but they're shaped kind of like in a V. They mm-hmm. look like gardening bags, big leather gardening bags, but the straps of them are bracelets. So you wear it like you wear your purse like a bracelet, okay? Which is, I guess, a cute idea. I mean, heavy. Sounds heavy. But that's what they are. So Sai is making fun of Brynn about not being good at chess. And yeah. then we see Brynn playing chess at her chess tournament and not knowing how to play chess at all. So I don't know if she's just doing this for like a... Isn't this, like, this is what I do. This is my story. I'm a girl who takes classes, but she's terrible at everything and she doesn't really do it.
She didn't really seem to know how to do the chess timer. And like the guy she was with was like helping her out. And we just sort of see this very quick montage that just ends with the guy giving her this like patronizing handshake. Like, congratulations, you tried.
It's like, did the Queen's Gambit just come out? You know, I think that's what happened when a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm learning chess because that was such girl power in the Queen's Gambit. And then they actually play it and it's terrible. You know,
you're
like,
so right. This game. This was total. Brynn was totally trying to ride the wave of the Queen's Gambit. I just forgot about that show. Did it ever have a second season?
I think it was like a one season thing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
I saw one part of it, and I was like, eh.
Yeah. So I watched Chess the Musical, and that's where I drew the line. And that was a great one, but I still drew the line. I was like, I think I've had enough. I've had enough of this.
Yeah. So Sai is now joking with Uba about how tall models always have short boyfriends. And Uba's like, shorter guys are always very, very confident. If you find a short, bald man, like, that man will come up and reach up and look at you like you are the sun. I'm like, I feel like she and Kiki need to have a summit about bald men because they have a lot of hot takes on bald men and they're not in line with each other.
Oh, Brynn's like, if he's so short but he can stand on his money, they don't need a booster. And Sai's like, oh, my queen, I'll crawl on top of my money to reach you. And they all start laughing. So then later at Jessel's, we see Felicia Gallant, fashion editor. Just kidding. She's from another world. We see Linda Dano just come in with her earrings flailing everywhere. It's like, it's me. It's me. I would have died. I would have been like, Jessel is the biggest one on this show. She's literally just replaced Jenna.
Yeah, so they're all sitting around waiting for Jenna Lyons. And then the kids escape from quarantine like little velociraptors, you know, and they come running into the party. Brynn is actually very adorable with the kids. She gets so excited. She starts playing with them. And then Pavitt's like, wow, they really love you. It's so exciting for them to finally meet a mother type who actually likes to spend time with them. This is so wonderful.
I know. I don't think they've ever heard somebody say, come here, let me give you a kiss before. Apparently they like that.
So then they FaceTime Jenna Lyons, and Jenna's there. She's like lighting her Christmas tree or whatever, and she's showing everyone the tree and the kids and everything, and she's saying, oh yeah, sorry guys, I can't be there because I don't get to see Beckett much, so, you know, I hope everyone has a great night and everything. So they're all like waving. It's like a nice little FaceTime.
Except it's not, because then it's over, and then Brynn's like,
so wait a second, she's putting on a Christmas tree, like, Hallmark moment, great, but I thought there was an event she had, and Uba's like, yes, I thought that she had an event. Yeah, why can't she just say, my son's coming over and we're putting together a tree? Why is it like she has to lie and say that there's an event?
She did not fucking lie. Here's the
she
exact...
She said she had a conflict.
She said, I might not be able to, and Brynn said, why, what do you have? And she said, I don't really remember. She never said she had an event. She refused to tell you.
Yeah. So now Jessel says... Then meanwhile, Jessel tells Erin, because Erin has now entered in, and she's like, listen, before you even walk into my house, I was wondering if you could take your dirty Tribeca shoes off. We don't need that up-and-coming neighborhood scum on my floors. Also, my intention with that conversation was like, you know, just to get over it, and I'm sorry if I offended you in any way. I understand people in Tribeca, they're very sensitive, more primitive types. They don't understand complex human emotions. So, you know, that wasn't my intention at all.
Yeah, well, I came here even though my baby's sick. So, like, wow, you're like the best person. So then Erin goes to the girls and she's like, I had the day from hell because my baby is sick. And then that fucking stupid fucking Jessel. I mean, look, listen, thermometers, like, I guess the thermometer is broken because it said 107. And I was like, how is this even fucking possible? I mean, thermometers, am I right? Thermometers.
Did she use like a quick read digital thermometer? That's for food, okay? That's not for children.
So they called the doctor, and I don't know. Then we see, like, Lynn Yeager. We see this fashion lady who's, she's the one with a red thimble on her head. And they're like, oh, and my, like, God, it's Lynn Yeager.
She has dots Lynn on her cheeks. Yeager. Her thing is that she has, like, little sort of, like, pink circuit, like old-fashioned clown circles on her cheeks. And they're all like, oh, my God. Which, I don't, you know, I love this because I just love this Jessel flex that she's able to do to, like, Erin and Bryn and Sai at this moment.
I do too, because even I see that woman and I'm like, oh my God, that is iconic. Like, if even an old Navy gay can see that, I was like, wow, I recognize her from places. I mean, I don't know. But even I know that she's something, you know?
I just
can
tell.
Everybody's super impressive that Jessel actually knows all these people and that they would come to an event at her house that's being filmed for a reality show, which they all probably consider disgusting, which means they all probably really like Jessel. So you go, girl.
Exactly. That is actually, that's what I thought too. I was like, because honestly, I don't think most of those people care about going to an apartment to see some handbags. I think they like Jessel and they like each other. Like, Jessel put together probably a pretty good event. So, So then, meanwhile, Erin and Sai are like tasting the wine, and Aaron's like, oh, have you tasted this wine? And Sai's like, is it not Trader Joe's wine or what? Like, oh my God, this is disgusting. It's rancid. It is like, so rancid, like, this is disgusting. Ugh, sorry, it's bad. Sorry, Jessel.
So then, yeah, they're like dissing the wine, and Erin's like, rancid. So Erin's like, so guys, you're all invited to my anniversary party, okay? It's like, gonna be next week. You guys should come. And Brent's like, I'm gonna wear pasties to it.
Guys, guess where I got my blazer? I fought for it.
Like, oh my God.
Erin's like, I'm gonna be drenched in diamonds and I'm gonna say a vase because we never did that. I was like, oh my God, well, congrats on your impending divorce. This is very exciting.
Wow, you're already starting with a vow renewal. Wow.
Well, is it a vow renewal if you never had vows in the first place? I kind of feel like saying vows after the initial marriage counts as the curse.
I don't know.
Well, Sai then says, I just have like one
I care.
Question.
I'm like, literally don't care if she even gets divorced. What do you think?
I have one question about this wedding. Is she going to serve us any kind of food? Because her track record is not good.
So Sai's like, did Jenna tell you she had an event tonight? What about that?
Let's spill some tea, guys, okay? Like, let's put down this really cheap wine so we could spill tea everywhere.
And Jessel's like, she said she had an event at her house or something. And Bryn's like,
yeah, her name's not going to be Jenna Lyons. It's going to be Jenna Lion. Like, not like roar, like the cat, because that would be like Jenna Lion. Rawr. No, not like it. It's going to be like Jenna Lion, like with L-Y-I-M apostrophe.
If you have, just shut up. It. Just we stop. Get we get
the
it. Joke. Okay?
We get the wordplay. We get the wordplay. It's okay. So Bryn's like, if I were the one who was like accused of not being honest about this, there would be hell to pay. She's still doing this thing too of like Jenna's allowed to bail on event, but I can't. I'm like, yes, because Jenna Lyons is famous and important and Jessel is kissing her ass. That is literally how this works. It's just
no,
life.
It's because you fucking ditched everybody, said you had to go home, and then you went to another restaurant and purposely posted about it to piss them off on social media. That's why. It's not like you had something else to do and you told everybody and they got on your ass. You were being an asshole on purpose. Like, She just keeps bringing this up over and over again, like it's going to make her right in that situation. And she's like,
so when you do homework in London, do you say it's events? Like, is that what we're calling it now? Like, oh my God, I have to help my kids with homework at an event.
Oh my God, I had an event last night. My son was doing a project. It was the most amazing event.
Bryn's like, well, I guess this morning I took a shit. I had a gala. And then Uba.
Oh, and then by the way, Erin cackles with her head back, which I loved. She actually went, ha ha. I was like, that's, there it is. There's a fucking cackle, okay? So if anybody needs to settle this argument, there's your clip of it.
Well, Erin always does that too, to really try to sell to the viewers that they are just like a hilarious group of girlfriends. She's always like, oh my God, that's outrageous. We are outrageous people right now. So then Uba's like, oh my God, you're on your knees. I love it. I love you on the knees, Jessel, on the carpet. And Bryn's like, was this the first time you've been on your knees on this carpet? And they're all like, ha, 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 ha. Wild and wacky real New Yorkers right now.
Oh God. So then Erin just cackles and they're like, oh my God, we're hilarious. And that brings us to the end of episode 5 of Real Housewives of New York City.
Wow. So, I mean, look, we're getting outraged about things. That's always a good sign.
You know, it's the first season Housewives. We have to fight about stuff. So let's just keep repeating the same fights over and over. That I'm blaming Frederick Eklund at this point. Yeah. I'm thinking Frederick started all of this there. I blame Frederick for a lot of things in life, and I'm just going to stick with blaming Frederick for this one.
I think that's like such a safe thing to do. Like if there's, when you think about terrible things happening in your life, whether you stubbed a toe, whether you're outraged about climate change,
Frederick's fault.
All Frederick's fault. So on that note, thank you all for being here, for watching, and for listening. We love you all, and we'll be back with more wonderful recaps throughout the week. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Roo Roo LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kennedy.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.